September 20th, 2016. We have a work session item that will be presented by Jim Donovan, current development supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With me tonight is my co-supervisor and fellow staff to the Development Advisory Committee and Supervisor of Engineering and Land Development and Building, Mr. Matthew Ruckers. The intention, we should be able to collectively answer just about any questions you throw at us. But with regard to the item on your agenda tonight, we're the only item on the dance card. This is a bit of process and background, and then I'll quickly hit the high points and we'll take some questions before we go into regular session. So a legislative type 4 process for an amendment of the Springfield Development Code zoning ordinance, our implementing ordinance language. So we'll be in taking any public comment, and you'll be in a recommendation position to the City Council on this one, having reviewed the staff report, staff testimony, the presentation, and any testimony you might hear. And staff has a recommendation of forwarding this to Planning Commission with a recommendation of approval based, of course, on our findings of compliance of the proposal with the criteria of approval from the Springfield Development Code for amendments to the Springfield Development Code. In terms of background, the first thing you may notice is that this is a staff or director initiated code change. We as staff were charged to support the Development Advisory Committee, an ad hoc committee of the Springfield City Council, in reviewing development processes and making recommendations. And this one arises from the number one priority in their eyes during their long work with Ms. Councilor Sean Van Gordon and Commissioner James as their Council and Planning Commission liaisons. We went and I should mention Mike was a member of the DAC before and through his tenure as Planning Commissioner. So we have lots of representation here tonight for that. There will be a separate work session with Council and you upon request once the DAC tidies up their final report and we can present the whole history of the deck and all their recommendations. Well, as I mentioned, this is the number one priority, and this is the number one on the recommendation list, and we wanted to move this through the process as quickly as possible, put it on, you know, out there for development and get it done before hopefully the calendar year and Christmas break and everything with City Council. So that's a little bit of the background. Staff's initiating in our role is support to the DAC, and it comes from a Development Advisory Committee recommendation. The specific revisions are not very long, so let me just say that attachment 2, page 1, under the minimum development standards, our ministerial development review standards in two sizes. Up until this action, they would be 5,000 square feet of new impervious or building area for a minor MDS, and a major MDS goes up to 25,000 square feet. The first part of the revisions is in the purpose and the description of those minimum development standards procedures. And you can see at C and D, we're going from 5,000 to 10,000 on minor, and we're going from 25 to 50 on major MDS. That the changing of the sizes doesn't necessarily make a statement about the complexity. These are still minimum development standards, they're ministerial standards, and the development still has to fit within these ministerial standards. No standards are waived, no standards have been changed. All the standards of the code are still applicable. at page 2 of 8, you see a little bit more ink, describing again the size change under number 2. And at number 3, you will see the revisions reflecting the work with the DAC to expand the role of MDS into all of the commercial general zoning districts and all of the general industrial zoning districts. So you can see under A that we had somewhat more specific language, and we also had the provision that this couldn't be abutting residential. It had to be abutting other similar districts. Before I move on, let me just touch high density and medium density residential. We're extending this MDS heretofore where it didn't extend into residential districts. It's not appropriate in single family residential, but in multi-unit, i.e. medium and high density residential, we have a great deal, almost exclusively single lot development. So you'll have apartment complexes, you'll have row homes, you'll have those types of developments. Those would still trigger site plan review if we're expanding the number and type of residential units, because there are multi-unit design standards for the buildings. What this is designed to allow is, you know, a fairly large parking lot expansion or something of that nature. You might have an undeveloped phase and you might want to put additional parking out there until such time as you were ready to build your residential development. So we saw no reason why a simpler ministerial package of review wouldn't serve that purpose. Now let me jump down to A through D. Under A was again the abutting issue, and acknowledging that when you were next to single family residential, there could be some concern. We felt that it could be addressed under the what was B after the line through is now your new A, and that sets a 50-foot distance from a residential, low density residential district. The other part of that that is worth noting is we had previously excluded the public right-of-way the way we do in an abutting situation. If you look at definitions of the code under abutting, it in other code applications, you exclude the right-of-way in those measurements. In this case, we wanted to have it including the public right-of-way. Now, the reason that's noteworthy is most rights of way are 60 foot in width, even at local street standards. So what this means is you could have a 50,000 square foot expansion immediately across the street from a single family residential district without any public notice. Now, that's the possibility. The probability of that happening and it fitting into our ministerial standards, you know, this should allow that type of thing, because again, we're talking about something that meets all the ministerial standards. Your access is there, your utilities are there, you might be expanding the parking lot. I'm not envisioning a large scale development now looming over someone's residential district without notice. I had to think that one through myself a lot on this particular standard, and staff's on board with this one. We don't see it as a high probability factor, but of, you know, a possibility nonetheless. So I wanted to point that out. The new B, if you will, is the 50,000, and that's impervious and or combined gross floor area. So it's either or, you know, it could be 20,000 square feet of parking lot or building and 30,000 square feet of floor space in your commercial and then industrial. And on the face of it, that might feel like kind of a large number, but again, we're talking about commercial and industrial. And these days, you're almost exclusively talking about big box type development or warehouses. So we knew we were going to expand it on the order of about an acre. That's what kind of felt right in the gut check and everything. And 50,000 square feet is a nice round number. It's 1.16 or so acres. So for simplicity, I think we kept the 50,000 square foot size. That is the extent of the revisions, technically speaking. So you've got applicability and you've got the purpose statements that are being revised. And that accomplishes what we and the DAG both hope provides a ministerial track for some development. You'll hear more about this approach, perhaps in a work session with the DAG, what I think we'll be hearing in the full presentation is we'll be monitoring this. It'll be interesting to see how many new developments maybe that could be attributed to this. It'll be interesting to see how many that would have been site planned previously now went through under ministerial. But the fact remains this will be somewhat limited because it's ministerial only. Again, if we have to do an exaction, if we have to do an infrastructure extension, a sanitary, a storm pipe, if there is an exaction for street improvements, if there are other things where we have to exercise legal judgment on the behalf of the citizens of Springfield, they're entitled to notice. So we will, and we do have the code authority to consider something requested for MDS and directed into site plan review or provide notice to cover that exercise of discretion. That takes it out of your type 1 ministerial process and puts it into your type 2 quasi-judicial type, you know, obviously site plan review in this case. So that's sort of the meat of the matter on the revisions, if you will. With regard to the criteria, there are three, and that's compliance with the Metro Plan and compliance with two types of statutes as applicable. One is obviously the 19 goals of land use, which our Metro Plan was adopted in compliance with. Any other applicable state statutes, and then of course we have to be consistent with our Metro Plan. Now, I used the term granular in your staff report. I think it's relevant to kind of review the relationship between those two plans and recognize right away that the Metro Plan itself nor the goals go down to the level of a ministerial track review. With regard to the Metro Plan, we cite four policies that are generally applicable, and that would be Goal 1, Goal 2, Goal 5, 9, and 10, five policies. And I identify those policies and generally state that, for instance, with regard to environmental and the policy that says we should remain flexible in our review standards, this is exactly what we're doing. I think the Metro Plan speaks to the implementing ordinance and it speaks to the policies. And again, it doesn't get down to any specifics, not even about site plan review. But we are consistent with our process and with our development code, and sort of by association, consistent with those Metro Plan policies. These minor revisions don't majorly impact any of that acknowledgement by DLCD. The other statutes as applicable, this is land use, and in this case, you know, while you can, like, for instance, on a CELTO or wander into other statutes for the FCC and other agencies. This is pure land use, so there aren't any other applicable. We found that ballot measure 56 wasn't applicable either, so with that, there is a finding from staff for consistency with the criteria of approval, hence our recommendation.
Measure 56, what is that?
I'm sorry, that if you, it requires notice if you are going to negatively affect the value of a property.
Okay.
So sometimes when you do citywide rezoning or other standards for review and adoption, that can be implicated. That's typically something we check with our city attorneys and make sure that we're on the right side of that. And again, with a minor update to the reviewing process as established already, we didn't feel that we were at risk of triggering. That being said, staff is with noting that we have an order and recommendation drafted for your use if you choose. We would stand for questions. Comments from, of course, our liaison and a DAC member, Mr. James.
Well, I'd just like to say the DAC spent over 3 years working through a variety of issues, and really this one was part of the precursor of the DAC, the ministerial process. MDS major and minor and major were part of, came out of a predecessor to the DAC. The DAC generally worked hard to see if we couldn't expand this ministerial process. And lots of examples were given of other municipalities pushing the limits of the ministerial process. When it came down to, after legal counsel review, and it really, to move further on the ministerial process, that is, review of the process from an administrative standpoint rather than the public notice and going through that process, it really is going to take a code revamp and rewrite, which is a much more lengthy process. So staff, I think, have done an excellent job looking at not only how successful MDS has been in this community over the past 5 years or so, five or so years, hasn't it been, Jim?
In its current form.
In its current form. And there, it has increased. Those types of developments have increased. And so the thinking is, you know, the council basically said to the DAC, you know, our charge was help make Springfield inviting to developers and give them an opportunity to feel as if they're valued, and when they walk in the door, they can move through a process. And so I think staff have done a good job putting this together, and I think this is one step. I think staff have done a lot of other things as well, and it will come forward, I think, in the full report from the DAC. But I think this is one important step, I believe. So.
As a DAC member myself, appreciate the fact that you've analyzed the changes in the square footage and believe that there will not be a significant negative impact to single-family residential, because one of my real concerns is that there's for any degrading of to home ownership, within the city, because I think we're already a little low on homeownership, and we don't want to do anything that negatively impacts homeownership. So I actually am very appreciative of that and am in support of the amendment.
I want to ask the question, if I may, just out of ignorance, you know, you have this section here, you know, page two, the paragraph, the new paragraph 3A. What's kind of the anticipated impact on that? I mean, if somebody, we're really just talking about size on what you can approve ministerially, we have a feeling for how much of an impact that's going to be, because if I'm the guy that's across the street, and I'm not, but if I'm the guy that's across the street where somebody decides to put a, you know, expand a parking lot, and oh, by the way, we've also made it so that right-of-way no longer acts as a buffer, I'm a little nervous about that.
Commissioner Landon, I totally understand. My gut going in was similar. You know, I had the same feeling, and after working this thing frontwards and backwards and with lots of different scenarios and uses, what I had to remember was that if we're seeing a new development of any size, it's going to be site plan review and the standard 300-foot notice is going to go out. You're going to get your appeal rights by virtue of submitting any concerns you have. Staff's going to address them in the staff report, and you have standing. And if you feel like we undershot, or if the developer feels like we overshot, we'll be hearing it before you. In this particular instance, as I said at the outset, no code standards are lowered. If there is any exaction necessary, where we are going to start either through improvement agreements or a public improvement process, analyzing one person's responsibility for public improvements in the context of the larger city, which could have also financially indirectly affect residents, or if a height standard or something appears to impact a residential district, as I pointed out at section 5.15 115, which is on your very next page opposite that standard, Commissioner, under capital letter A, they're reviewed under the type 1 unless the applicant requests or the director finds that the proposed use should provide public notice. If staff feels like a established residence or neighborhood is being impacted, we can elevate that to a site plan review and just state that MDS isn't appropriate. The other middle ground is we could use the process because perhaps there aren't the exaction issues, there aren't, but the MDS would still fit. We can do an MDS with notice, which is how I do some developments. Just because the development itself isn't complex, doesn't warrant a full site plan, but there may be one element of that that I feel like if I was a homeowner, I might be keenly interested in. And frankly, I've had developers ask me, the reason that standard is worded the way it is, because in the previous work that we did on MDS, we've had developers ask to give notice to have that added layer of insulation so that they aren't surprising anyone. So we still sort of have belt suspenders, and this probably was belt suspenders and some other form of support. So we're confident that in probability versus possibility, and also the protections that we have, that we'll be able to handle this. I wouldn't expect this to come up that often. And when it does, we represent all of the city of Springfield. And as I've told people, you know, be prepared. There are times when we might have to say, no, I don't think MDS is appropriate.
I also believe that under the request of the DAC, that any of the changes that are fairly significant, will be revisited in a year's time to see how the process is working. Is it being utilized? Have there been negative impacts, et cetera?
Complaints, that kind of thing.
Any of the changes that we recommend through the DAC.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Well, thank you both for your hard work and the DAC for their hard work, and we'll call this work session adjourned.
Can you agree with this guy or not?
I do.
I think it's the DAC, isn't it?